This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
RJ and I wanted to take a moment to congratulate Mr. DeSantis on becoming the next governor of the great state of Florida.
As the Florida recount ends, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum concedes once again to Governor-elect Ron DeSantis. And a Florida political icon, Senator Bill Nelson, concedes to outgoing Governor Rick Scott.
Well, things worked out a little differently than Grace and I had hoped, but let me say I by no measure feel defeated. And that's because I've had the privilege of serving the people of Florida and our country for most of my life.
After all the elections chaos, Broward's Supervisor of Elections Brenda Snipes resigns. But elections experts say the system is designed to fail.
All of the laws have been written to ensure that Republican votes are counted and a fewer amount of Democratic votes are valid. Whether that's racial or political, you choose, but it has the same effect.
That's former Leon County Election Supervisor Ion Sancho. Plus, many say Florida's historic step to restore the voting rights of ex-felons is an example of the country and state coming together for humanity.
I've seen what our country could do, what we could do as a state when we come together along the lines of humanity, when we come together along the lines of love and forgiveness and redemption.
We have all that and so much more coming up on episode 159 of The Rotunda. Well, the 2018 midterm elections has finally come to an end here in the Sunshine State, weeks after Election Day. And we've got lots to talk about here on the program, so let's get to it. First, the razor-thin margins in the competition between Republican Ron DeSantis and Democrat Andrew Gillum, who conceded, unconcedes, to concede again after the recount madness.
Yes, but we wanted those votes to be counted. And now that we are rounding that process out, RJ and I wanted to take a moment to congratulate Mr. DeSantis on becoming the next governor of the great state of Florida.
And then there was the Senate race, even closer than the governor's race, with a bitter feud between Governor Rick Scott and Senator Bill Nelson.
I was not victorious in this race, but I still wish to strongly reaffirm the cause for which we fought. A public office is a public trust.
But in the end, Scott used his own political playbook with his vast personal fortunes and ended Nelson's long political career as senator.
Well, things worked out a little differently than Grace and I had hoped, but let me say I by no measure feel defeated. And that's because I've had the privilege of serving the people of Florida and our country for most of my life.
So as all this was settling in over the weekend, Brenda Snipes, Broward County Supervisor of Elections, at the epicenter of this year's and so many other election controversies, announced she is stepping down from her post, just hours after finishing the recount, fraught with mistakes. As the world looked on, she took criticism from all sides, but on this week's program, you'll learn that most of the noise was much to do about politics and less about fraud.
And I will tell you that the standards are excellent. I'd compare Florida's optical scan rules and examples to any state in the nation. That's something we didn't have. We didn't have uniformity in how we counted Chad ballots in 2000. What is the same, we have political interference on behalf of the individuals who are supposed to be counting the votes.
For about 28 years, Ion Sancho has been the voter's advocate. That's according to those who know him best. He's worked tirelessly to make voting easier and to make sure we all see a problem-free election, at least under his watch. He's been interviewed many times over and featured in documentaries, including HBO's Hacking Democracy. And in his current retirement, of course, an unprecedented three statewide recount would catapult this expert from his quiet life on his farm in the outskirts of Tallahassee back into the national spotlight. Luckily, he took a coffee break from his back-to-back media interviews to have a chat right here on The Rotunda.
We're in North Florida. This is not the South.
We kicked off our conversation after getting word that three counties, Palm Beach, Broward, and Hillsborough, failed to meet their recount deadline. Driving home, a federal judge's remark that Florida is the laughingstock of the world, election after election. Ouch. We were sitting outside a coffee shop in Midtown Tallahassee.
You had all of these political figures jumping in, trying to intimidate, coerce, and basically shut the vote process down. Mm-hmm. Well, excuse me, there's a reason why what we do on the Saturday after the election is produce our first set of results. Mm-hmm. The first set of results is not available until Saturday. But what these political actors have done is have hordes of people descend on these voting centers, which are focused on counting votes. They're being screamed at. They're being told that they're traitors.
Lock her up! Lock her up! Lock her up! Lock her up!
They're being horribly, horribly depicted in social media because the political actors have an agenda. These people should butt out.
We didn't hear much from Brenda Snipes, but she was dragged through the media in all of this for not being able to give the governor and everyone, those outside, how many votes are left to be counted. From a supervisor of elections yourself, like, what was going through in her situation?
Too many ballots. Too many ballots. And they lost control over the process. They started piling up. They had to put them in rooms and not count them. And then because of that, the supervisor of elections couldn't tell the press, well, how many ballots do you have to count? I don't know. That lack of supervisory control is not fraud. As one political columnist put it out, Blake Bortles is not deliberately trying to throw interceptions so that the Jacksonville Jaguars lose. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't throw passes as well as other quarterbacks in the league. And that's what we have here. And her focus has to be on tabulating these ballots and overseeing this process. She can't really spend her time talking to the news media. She has to be supervising this process. So the more pressure you put on an urban supervisor of elections, the more likely you're going to have problems in that jurisdiction. And the urban areas themselves have unique problems. The five-day deadlines to tabulate your mail-in ballots may serve smaller jurisdictions like Leon County, Bay County, Glades County, Osceola County, may serve them well. But you'll never be able to get the urban counties to do that kind of a quick reporting because the numbers that they're dealing with are too large. Broward County has more voters on an election day than the entire state of Wyoming. Mm-hmm. Yet the entire state of Wyoming has a lot more time to count their mail-in ballots than the state of Florida provides its election supervisors. So clearly, the deadlines have been artificially drafted by the Florida legislature to essentially bias the urban counties. Mm-hmm. Bias the small population counties. And that has a political effect in this state when you understand that the Democratic vote is largely concentrated where? In the urban communities. Communities where this tight deadline will ensure that votes will not be counted.
So how should we feel about seeing Palm Beach, Broward, and Hillsborough County miss that deadline because they weren't given time to count the votes?
Well, I think you have to understand that these deadlines are artificially construed, have not been changed from a time in which there was one-third as many of these cast. And the Florida legislature, in my period, in my opinion, has not served the citizens well by adjusting these timelines to actually compare with other states which use mail-in ballots. I'm not saying extend it to 28 days like they do in California, but certainly the 21-day figure that Washington uses would better serve a state that far outstrips those states' population. How can those states do it in this time and we can't? And it's these deadlines allow for the processing of the ballots. So understanding how this process works is a critical element. Unfortunately, too many political individuals and even members of the media don't understand how this process really works.
So how does it all work? Yeah.
The first set of numbers that will tell you who's ahead and who's going to win the election will not be generated in these large urban counties until Saturday after the election. That's the first day that real numbers can be provided.
Yeah.
Everything before that is just a guess.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with former Leon County Supervisor of Elections, Ion Sancho.
So, people are wondering about the issue of race, not the races.
Oh, no.
Racism, and how racism played in this election. We saw it kicked off from the beginning with various names of monkey and this and that. So, what do you say about racial issues in Florida's elections, particularly this election cycle?
Well, you have the study by the University of Florida professor Daniel Smith, who runs one of the best election blogs in the state. And his study has found that if you look at those ballots cast in Florida in recent elections, African Americans are 10 times more likely not to have their ballots counted than the rest of the population. That's evidence. I'm sorry, whatever you can say, that shouldn't be happening. And that again is because they are concentrated in these urban areas like Duval and Hillsborough, where they can't complete these counts and these tight deadlines. So we have to address that. We need to address uniformity in the preparation of mail ballot envelopes. Leon County has been recognized as having an outstanding mail ballot. We have very few people who fail to sign the envelope. Uh-huh. Broward County, not recognized as having a good mail ballot envelope and has more ballots discarded from legal voters. It's time for the state to apply a uniform standard to all the mail ballots. So regardless of whether you're in Duval County, whether you're in Leon County or Broward County, all of the ballots look the same. That has one fabulous advantage. The state could actually do voter education ads. Uh-huh. They could actually run ads saying how to do this properly. As we found out in the 2000 election, for example, the state was spending $35 million to train its citizens how to play the lottery. They weren't spending one penny to tell the voter how to properly vote. That's a problem.
So what needs to change? Do you think this will change as the way you outline something that will be brought up in the legislature?
Well, I think it'll have to, because you've got federal judges now who are declaring Florida's laws unconstitutional on the basis of Bush v. Gore, ironically, because they're basically saying you're not allowing these voters in urban counties to cure any deficiencies, like, you know, update their signature or put in a missing date. In the rural counties, the law is followed. 101.68(4)(a) says the supervisor of elections shall notify a voter who's made an error so they can cure their ballot. Mm-hmm. Well, that law only works in the rural counties. I'm sorry, there's nothing the supervisor of elections, Brenda Snipes, could do to notify the voters on election day in Broward after 100,000 of these came into the office. How is she supposed to follow the law? You must give the people in the urban jurisdictions the same opportunity to cure their ballots as you provide in the rural counties. Mm-hmm. So that's why the deadline to cure ballots have been extended by a federal judge to this Saturday. Mm. Ironically enough, when I've looked at those states that provide the deadlines for when citizens can cure their ballots, they're all after the election, so that the election official could notify the voter and they can come in and correct the issue and have their vote count. Only Florida puts the deadline to cure a mail-in ballot before all the ballots are in. It's mind-boggling. If you really want to count all legal voters' votes, this is not how you do it. This is a program designed to not count every voter's legal votes, particularly if you're in urban areas, and that has a racial impact, again, and it has a political impact in terms of D's versus R's. So again, the way the Florida legislature wrote the law, and one must recognize that in 2002, in fact, since 1998, all the legislatures in Florida have been totally dominated by Republicans and a Republican governor. There's been no Democratic input into crafting these laws to assist the urban areas. All of the laws have been written to ensure that Republican votes are counted and a fewer amount of Democratic votes are valid. Whether that's racial or political, you choose, but it has the same effect. Mm-hmm. Legal citizens of Florida, through no fault of their own, cannot get their ballots counted in the same manner. And that is a violation of Bush v. Gore.
Later in the program, the recounts. What do they mean, and are they even worth it?
Recounts that we're seeing are not worth the paper they're written on, except for the very few at the end that are examined by people.
Jeez. Plus, on election night, a huge victory for Floridians who've committed crimes but have served their time. The passage of Amendment 4. Desmond Mead at Florida's Right Restoration Coalition says it restored his faith in humanity.
When I seen what our country could do, what we could do as a state, when we come together along the lines of humanity, when we come together along the lines of love and forgiveness and redemption.
Stay tuned. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com to learn more about sponsoring this program. You'll have the ear of Florida's most influential policy and decision makers listening right along with you. Yes, this program is listener supported. We depend on you for the resources necessary to bring you the stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Welcome back to the program. A statewide listening tour is underway after more than 64% of Florida voters chose to restore voting rights to people with prior felonies. The passage of Amendment 4 gives back the full citizenship rights of the state's 1.4 million ex-felons who were convicted and completed sentences for past crimes, with the exception of those convicted of murder or felony sexual offenses. The Florida Rights Restoration Coalition has led the charge to get the amendment passed. Speaking with us and Public News Service, Coalition President Desmond Mead says after the excitement to see the amendment's passage, they now are circling back to have a deeper conversation with individuals impacted.
Number one, just get their reactions. Number two, get their hopes. Find out more about what are these issues that they feel they would need to address in order to improve their quality of life and with the overall goal of making our community safer. And so we're just taking the time. We know that this campaign that we had was a campaign that was brought together by people from all walks of life, from all nationalities and political persuasions. And as we're going out there having these conversations, those are the type of folks that they're having conversations with.
What did it mean, first of all, to see the passage of Amendment 4? And what does it say, or what reactions were you getting from those who didn't have the right to vote?
Well, I tell you, it was a surreal moment when we realized that Amendment 4 was passed. Just to see the tears in people's eyes, the joy, the happiness, the relief of so many people, so many different people from different backgrounds and with different stories, just to see their reaction and the joy that was there and the relief. And I mean, because it was amazing. You're talking about 1.4 million people are now eligible to be able to get back into our democracy in a meaningful way like a citizen. But I'm going to tell you, the most important thing that I seen that night was I seen what our country could do, what we could do as a state when we come together along the lines of humanity. When we come together along the lines of love and forgiveness and redemption, because when we looked at just the data, what we seen was that we got over 5.1 million votes. That's over a million more votes than any candidate that was on the ballot in Florida. Over a million more than any candidate. And on top of that, when you looked at the counties, we got the majority vote in 62 out of 67 counties. And so when I looked at the 5.1 million vote that we got, what I seen was a vote that was not based on fear. I seen 5 million votes that was not based on hate or division. I seen 5.1 million votes that were votes of love. And to me, I think that is the beauty of this campaign. And that is something in essence that we should hold on to, that this country, that this state, that our community should hold on to. That people from all walks of life can come together and can move major policy issues in a collective and powerful way.
Wow. So what is the next
step for those who are anticipating and awaiting to get their rights restored. How will this happen?
Well, it will happen according to what the law says. And basically, the law is very clear that once an amendment is passed, a constitutional amendment is passed, that it will be written into the Constitution by, I believe, what they call the first Tuesday after the first Monday of the year. And so what we anticipate is that by the second week of January, that we'll be able to write into the Constitution, it'll be written into the Constitution provision that would give us the authority, all right? The authority is very important to understand that when I walk into, in January, when I walk into the Supervisor of Elections office to register to vote, that or anybody else, any returning citizen, when they walk in that office, they're walking into that office under the full authority of the highest law in the state of Florida. And we're doing so fully expecting any elected official or any public servant to fully respect the rule of law and not provide any barriers to that happen. Right? This is it's a constitutional right that we have now to go ahead and do this. And so I'm looking forward to it. And so what I tell my fellow folks who are waiting to be a part of that process is to connect with the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition for updates and get ready to take your family with you to go register to vote.
That's Florida Rights Restoration Coalition Executive Director Desmond Mead. With 15 local chapters through Florida, the coalition is the only statewide organization run by formerly convicted people set to advocate on behalf of those with past felonies and their families. To learn more about the listening tour or to take a survey about Amendment 4, visit FloridaRRC.com. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, so we're not quite finished with Florida's recount. Well, we think we're finished until the next election. And as more and more eligible voters decide that they want to exercise their right, what can be done to prevent the system from breaking down yet again? Well, former Leon County Supervisor of Elections Ion Sancho says it's time for election reforms in the Sunshine State.
The recounts that we're seeing are not worth the paper they're written on, except for the very few at the end that are examined by people.
Jeez.
That's where we are. And so this whole arena has to be addressed in terms of what does science say about this process? Not what politics. Politicians have been controlling this process, and that's why Florida keeps having these problems. We need a nonpartisan elections board, and we need an audit process which confirms the validity of every legal vote. Mm-hmm. Until we get those two kinds of things, we're not seriously going to make real headway in reforms in Florida.
Outside of the politics, in your conversations with other supervisors when you were directly part of the process, why haven't they picked up what's being done in Leon County? Was it finances?
Well, it's not required by law, yes. Leon County was, when I came into office, I had, it was because a supervisor of elections disenfranchised 5,000 voters in a primary in 1986. And so when I came in, it was to a operation that all the political leadership was sensitized and understood what could happen if the supervisor of elections didn't do the job properly. So I was bestowed with enough resources to buy the equipment that I knew was necessary. That's not the case in a lot of jurisdictions, particularly if there's never been any overt problems, because elections are just another governmental service, like sewage, water, police, fire, and quite frankly, a county commission, when being asked, are you going to buy me a new voting system for $20 million in this large urban county, or are you going to buy 6 ambulances or 3 fire trucks? That's the priorities. What I can see why many county commissions say, we don't use your equipment very often. You're in the bottom of the chain. We're buying the ambulances today. We're buying the fire trucks today. Or we're supplementing the police department with more cars today. You're a stepchild. You're simply another government agency with the smallest budget, the smallest number of staff, and we don't interact with you every day. Mm-hmm. We only interact with you during elections. Yeah. So that's until you recognize that where elections are in the hierarchy of priorities, You can't understand the fact that a lot of supervisors don't have the resources. Let's look at Palm Beach. Palm Beach did buy a voting system in 2002 after the 2000 election. Their butterfly vote destroyed the validity of Florida's election. So Teresa Lepore bought touchscreen voting machines. And touchscreen voting machines have one feature. As Teresa Lepore told me in January of 2002, Ian, I'm gonna buy touchscreen voting machines because then I'll never have to do a recount. It's impossible to do a recount on an electronic touchscreen voting machine. They're just accumulators of votes. And if you want to do a recount, you hit a button and it spits out the same number that it had before. Excuse me, there's no recount. And while Teresa Lepore liked that, her citizens, aggravated already over the butterfly ballot, revolted when she used touchscreen voting machines. So she was tossed out of office in 2004. Well, Art Anderson, who came in, said, okay, I've got a server by the Sequoia Voting Machine Company. I'll get the rest of my equipment from them, and I'll save the county the money buying this new computer server. Well, guess what? Within 7 years, Sequoia went out of business. They went out of business. They no longer make voting machines at all. Those are the voting machines that overheated and they had to fly in engineers. No new voting machines of that company had been manufactured in years. So the new supervisor of elections now, Susan Bucher, inherits a voting system that she didn't recommend, that is old and antiquated, who there are no parts or and they're not manufacturing any more parts, and there's nothing she can do. And she finds out for the very first time that her county can't do a multi-statewide recount. All the rest of the technology in the state, in Leon County, in Hillsborough County, in Broward County even, they can feed all their ballots through the high-speed tabulators, and all three statewide races are outstacked simultaneously. So they only have, in Broward County, a much larger county, they only have to run their 850,000 votes once. Mm-hmm. Palm Beach, a much smaller county with only 600,000 votes, are going to have to run those 600,000 ballots three times in order to outstack in the three races. That means they're going to be running almost 2 million ballots through their antiquated system to do what everybody else does on one pass. And the kicker is, the state of Florida certified that equipment is good to use in Florida. You can use no equipment unless the Division of Elections has tested and it meets their standards. So they have said, this equipment is good to use, except that it's not good to use. So in my opinion, the state is on the hook for allowing these deficient machines to use, and Palm Beach County should have been granted time to complete this because the state said you could use their equipment, so they're partly responsible for the problem in Palm Beach County today.
Ion Sancho, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me again here on The Rotunda.
Thank you very much.
That's former Leon County Supervisor of Elections, Ion Sancho. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.